This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top story of the day, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Well, more on the Kirk Cousins situation in the Michael Penix Jr. draft by the Falcons. Cousins' agent, Mike McCartney, told ESPN's Pete Thamel that the Falcons did not tell the quarterback they would pick Penix until the team was on the clock. McCartney said there is frustration and confusion coming from Cousins' camp because Atlanta did not use its first-round pick to make the team better in 2024. Instead, the Falcons, of course we know, used it on potentially his replacement, maybe in a couple of years. Here's what Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot and coach Raheem Morris said. They said this about Cousins' reaction, that it would remain private. Morris, head coach, said he got called on the clock, obviously, because of the sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things, unless Kirk decides to tell you some of the things that are, or that went down, or what they may be. But he's a competitor just like us all, and you can always expect those things to go just like you kind of think.
Yeah.
Okay, you just made it worse with that.
Like, I get it. If you were going to draft any other position, yeah, you'd probably call your quarterback and say, hey, Kirk, this is who we're going with. Not that you need his approval, but to call him and say, hey, we're going to take this quarterback here. What? Why?
And they called him on the clock.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Kirk, we're up. We're going to take Penix.
Hey, it's Coach. GM's over here making some picture or talking to some people right now. But we're going to go ahead and get Penix.
What do you think Kirk Cousins' response was on the phone? Like, do you think he went, what? We're not going to get a... What are we doing? No? You're not going to get a player to help us get better this year?
I don't know how you react to that.
Hey, we're drafting a core. I mean, ask Aaron Rodgers. I mean, again, the Packers deal is different. And I know our boy Hubbard said there's some similarities. The Packers took Jordan Love at, what, 26?
Mm-hmm.
And there had already been kind of some rumblings, hadn't there, about Rodgers not being happy?
Yeah, there was some tension growing, and then the Love pick kind of exploded that tension.
Made it worse.
And then, you know, okay, we'll be mature for two seasons, and then I'm out of here.
Yeah. So it's different. I mean, Atlanta just got him. They just got Kirk Cousins. And they didn't just sign him on the vet minimum. They gave him a massive deal. He's... Cash-wise, he's the second-highest player in the NFL, second-highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. So these comments actually make it worse, the fact that he was called on the clock. Like, never once a, hey, Kirk, you know, we're always thinking about the future here, and maybe this was days ago. We're always thinking about the future here, and we love you. We're excited. We're gonna win big, man. We're excited about that. However, we have talked, and if one of those guys, or particularly Michael Penix Jr., happens to fall to, what, 8, we feel like we might take him for the future. Because we know, you know, you signed a 4-year deal with us, and that might be the end of your career. So we really like this guy. So we kind of just wanted to let you know. Instead, he's there, and Atlanta just goes, we really like that guy. We got to go get him. I'm still blown away by it. I get it in some ways. I do. I do understand a guy that you know, you bring your guy in for the future. But Angel, wasn't Penix and Bo Nix, weren't those the two quarterbacks that people were in and out on? They were like, yeah, they could work out. It was Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and then J.J. McCarthy really moved up. But Penix and Bo, those were the two names that you're kind of like,
eh, they were your five and six.
They could work out. They might. So I'm blown away by this. General manager for the Falcons, Terry Fontenot, said these are not easy decisions. These are tough decisions. But that's who we're thinking about. We're thinking about the fans. If you were thinking about the fans, you would have drafted a player for today. We're thinking about this organization. We're going to build a sustained winner. We're going to win for a long time. That's the most important position in football. Penix said he was surprised when he got the call telling him he was the pick. Did he visit them? Was he there working out? Because wouldn't that have been news? Wouldn't we have been, we would have caught that and been like, why are they even talking to quarterbacks right now?
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense to me.
He said, Penix said, I'm not going to say I knew it was coming, but I knew once the phone call came through. So Penix is 23.
Yeah. Well, I would hope you know when you get the phone call on draft night.
He's 23, but I think he's going to turn 24 like next month or something. Wild.
Yeah, May 8th. He'll be 24.
So Penix, he's going to be 24 in May. And at best, for him, he'll play when he's 26. Right?
Yep.
Or 27. Because he'll be 26 in May of two years, and then the following season he would play. So, or whatever, he'd be 27.
Yeah, and if Kirk's on a four-year deal, but two of that's guaranteed, is he going to play out all 4 years? Not sure.
I don't know. Smitty says, Atlanta has the 43rd pick. Odds they draft Spencer Rattler.
That's who I would have taken with that pick.
Well, yeah.
If you're going to take a quarterback and work him for a few years, take Rattler.
I think if you can afford it, you know, if you're not to the point where you're so desperate you need every position, I think you should take a quarterback every year. See if you can find the next Brock Purdy. Tom Brady, even. Just throw it out there. Hey, I got a seventh pick. Let's just get a quarterback. Let's get that guy. He'll be a third stringer for us, whatever. I think you should get a quarterback every year, but not in the top 10 when you just signed a good quarterback to a four-year, $180 million deal. Wild to me, man. Just absolutely nuts. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. How did we do on our mock draft, Angel? You started it. You got one right. You got Caleb Williams.
Ooh.
Nailed that one.
Wasn't quite sure, but happy they went the right way.
And I got Jaden Daniels for the Commanders.
All right.
And then all hell broke loose after that. But we did get positions right, I think. Okay, so Patriots, you had the Patriots taking J.J. McCarthy.
Yes.
And the Patriots, of course, took Drake May.
So half a point.
Half a point because you get a quarterback. Fourth, for me, I did not have the Cardinals trading out. There was a question that they might, and I had them take Marvin Harrison Jr. So I got two. That was exciting. With the Chargers, there was a debate whether they would trade out of it. They did not. You thought they might go with Malik Nabers. They went with Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. And his dad used to play for the Chiefs.
Yeah, solid pick. Give Herbert some more protection, but who is he throwing to? I don't know if you're going to need him to throw that much in the Harbaugh offense.
So the Giants, it's funny. I had the Giants taking Malik Nabers, but you took Malik Nabers with the Chargers, so I had to scramble. And I actually threw out the fact that the Giants would go get Drake May, and they did not do that. So, Titans next. They took J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama.
Yeah, the first player to pick up Roger Goodell and hold him up in the air with the back surgery.
Did he look like, was he like, ah?
He looked a little slower every time he walked out on that stage.
It was wearing him out, man. The hugs were wearing him out.
The hugs, the big slaps on the back, this 300-pound lineman lift you up in the air.
Hey, he did have back surgery. You know what? Props to him for coming out and doing it. That's what that's all about. It's hugs. It's these awkward, long, really tight man hugs. And we all love it. We love the good man hugs with Roger Goodell and his the future of the league. Those are always fun. Okay, so position-wise, Angel, you nailed it with the quarterback for the Patriots. I got Marvin Harrison right. You missed on the Chargers. With the Giants, I missed. I think that's your fault, though. I'm blaming you. Titans, you got the position. So we'll give you half a point.
All right.
Falcons? I did not. I thought they would go with Latua, the edge rusher out of UCLA, but I guess they needed Michael Penix Jr. because they didn't have enough guys to hold clipboards.
Yeah, top three edge rushers on the board, and you go quarterback.
Number nine, you had the Bears pick, right? Who did you have him taking? Byron Murphy?
Yep.
And they went with Rome Odunze out of Washington, the wide receiver.
Yeah, it's Chicago, so I'm nervous about getting hyped about them, but they could have a pretty decent offense over there.
Mm-hmm. Could. Yeah, they made some big moves. The Jets, that was me, and I was right. A lot of people said I was wrong that they would take Brock Bowers. I said no. I thought Brock Bowers was going to be available at 12. I said the Jets are going to go for an offensive lineman, Fuaga. They did not go with him. That was who I thought they would go with. They went with the tackle out of Penn State.
Yeah, Fosh now after trading from 10 to 11.
So I got that right. We'll say, oh yeah, and I missed of course the Vikings moving up. And that was, we kind of thought that one was going to happen, that the Vikings would move up to get a quarterback. And J.J. McCarthy just kept falling, kept dropping. And Minnesota got it done.
Yeah, I was very interested once we got to 10 through 13 with the Vikings, Jets, Broncos, and Raiders, how it was going to go. I honestly forgot about Bo Nix. And then I'm watching it, and then I hear it, and I'm like, oh, I forgot there was another quarterback there.
You forgot about Bo Nix. That was the guy I said, and
I was so caught up in the, five quarterbacks are off the board. I just couldn't think of who was left. And then it was, Bo Nix, yeah.
I shared the podcast from 2 weeks ago when I did, we did three of them, the case for Bo Nix. And I made the case for Bo Nix, and I made the case for Michael Penix Jr., and I made the case for Brock Bowers. I've been hammering that I've been pounding the desk here saying that one of those three guys I'm okay with. And I'm going to live up to that. I'm okay with it. If I had to pick, I was leaning toward Brock Bowers the last 2 weeks.
Now, with J.J. still on the board, if we're going back up to after the Bears pick, would the Broncos have tried to trade with the Jets to get up? But because of some beef between these two teams.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe.
Maybe Nathaniel Hackett snuck in the war room and say, hey, yeah, no, don't trade for them.
So it just depends on what you want to believe. But people that I trust are telling me that for Sean Payton, it went like this. Obviously, Caleb Williams, number one. Then it was Jaden Daniels. And then third on his list was Bo Nix. You can believe what you want. He did. They spent a lot of time together. There's some interesting stories, and we'll get to those in a moment. But if Sean Payton had the choice between J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, would he have still taken Bo Nix? And according to what he's telling us, and everybody that I'm talking to is telling us, that Bo was third on his quarterback list.
I think they are comparable in some ways. That would have been an interesting decision to see.
Well, and J.J. picked up a lot of steam the last 2 months.
Right.
I mean, he was not up in the top five for a while. And Bo went back and forth. He was there, and then he wasn't. Michael Penix Jr. was there, and then he wasn't. And they all went before pick number 13, which was wild. So Denver gets their guy. That's my poll question of the day presented by Chipper's Lanes. Are you good with it? Was it a good move by the Broncos to draft Bo Nix with number 12? Not move back and try to collect a second rounder and see if you can take your chances? Because what I'm also hearing is that Sean Payton was convinced. I don't know if it would have been the Raiders or the Seahawks, but he was convinced that Bo Nix would not be there if he traded back into the 20s. And Angel, you're not going to just trade back a couple of spots. It's not worth it. Not really, unless there's an exact guy you know for a fact you can get, whatever. But if they were going to do it, they were going to move back into the 20s.
Yeah, but I mean, to his point, just looking at the way the rest of the draft board went out, I couldn't see any of those teams taking a quarterback.
Which ones? You couldn't see the Raiders?
The Raiders, maybe. That'd be the only one.
You don't think Seattle would have?
I don't think so. I think they're set with whoever they have right now. I don't know who it is.
Well, and I read a report 2 days ago that it wasn't off the table that Pittsburgh would take a quarterback. They are at 20, right? So, I mean, there was a chance. See, I think there was a chance for the Raiders to do it. I do believe Seattle might have done it if somebody was there, because I don't think they're set, are they? Who are their guys now? It's Geno, and then who else? Because Drew's gone. Did they get somebody else? But I did think that there might have been two teams that could do it. Maybe even Pittsburgh.
Sam Howell.
Oh, yeah, duh.
They got their guy.
They got their guy already.
I think just looking at how the board ended up playing out, I think the Raiders maybe would have taken a quarterback. Broncos take Bo Nix in front of them. You're not going to reach way down for Rattler. So you take BPA, and it just happened to be Brock Bowers. It doesn't make a ton of sense because they already drafted a tight end last year with Michael Mayer. Do you need two super good tight ends? Is that a potential trade option for them at this point with Mayer for a team that may be looking to get a tight end?
Maybe. I mean, that could you. I honestly thought, speaking of trades, I thought, did the Falcons draft Michael Penix Jr. for somebody else? I thought that was what was going on. Like, okay, we'll just go ahead and do this, and then we'll work a deal later because we're in crunch time. This stuff's happened before, but yeah. So that could have happened. You can easily select guys that you know somebody else wants, and you got a pretty good deal coming your way.
Were you surprised there weren't any trades in the top 9 picks?
Yeah, I was surprised. My biggest takeaway, obviously, was the Atlanta pick of Michael Penix Jr. I was surprised we didn't see a trade for. I wasn't surprised about Arizona. I thought maybe we would see one with the Chargers. Maybe we'd see one. Maybe with the Giants. You heard that a little bit too. If they weren't really interested in a quarterback. I thought we would see something early there. But I wasn't surprised about Arizona.
Well, and the Vikings they made two trades, trading up one spot to get JJ and then trading up another few spots to get Dallas Turner.
Mm-hmm. So did Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's got to feel pretty good about their draft. Chicago, obviously, you get Caleb Williams, and we'll see how that works out, but they got to feel good. Smitty says the Colts and the Rams could have drafted Nix.
Colts have their guy, Richardson.
Rams, yeah, maybe. And Richardson's still in that. Maybe he'll work out, but you're not going to do it right now because you're not out on him. So I don't know if the Colts would have. The Rams, I could have seen that happen.
Sure.
Because Matthew Stafford, I mean, how long is he going to go? So there were two or three teams that I really thought would take a quarterback, and that's obviously what Sean Payton knew. And you could have taken your chance and went back to 20s, but now he's got to survive 8-plus spots. I have no problem. You can call it a reach if you want, and it probably was. If you just want to be that draft nerd that's like, well, his stock would tell you that he was a high 20s pick, not quite a 12. Okay, we're not talking major differences there. You either take the risk and reach, or you either take the risk and don't reach and hope he's there, or you reach and just make it a sure thing. That's the guy you wanted. Just go get him. Does it matter where you picked him? If you were going to pick him at 20 or 12, does it really matter, Brady? You could get value for that. Maybe not much. Sean Payton seems to think they weren't going to get much for moving back. He said, hey, I'm not going to risk it for a couple of fifth-round picks, which is crazy.
Yeah, I think pre-draft it felt like a reach, and maybe it still is a little bit. But I also think because the draft was the first 14 picks were offensive players, you had to make the move.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go get your offensive player. No one else was taking any defenses. Nobody was trading up to get a defensive player at that point. So, yeah. It could be a reach, could not be a reach. Maybe it's somewhere right in the middle.
This was, though, exciting. It really was. I left after 12, Angel. I went over to pregame stuff for the Nuggets Lakers, and of course I was just had it on my phone at that point. But this was a historic draft. The draft started off with 14 straight offensive players being selected. That's the longest streak in draft history for one side of the ball. First defensive player, did not come off the board until number 15 with the Colts with Latu. Crazy, right? So what does that tell you? Are you want to? This is what I do with the draft in the first round. The other rounds, I don't think, tell the story as much. But the first round will tell me a lot about where the NFL is headed, what they're up to, what the trends are in the league. And number one, desperation for a quarterback. There's guys that are big names. We're not messing around. We're going to go get them. Number two, I need a guy to protect my quarterback. I need a quarterback. I need a guy to protect my quarterback. And I need one guy for him to throw to. I need another weapon for him. That's the theme that I learned from this draft.
Yeah, it feels like if you're in that rebuilding type of mode, quarterback's the first. Go get your run. Go get your weapon, and then go get your line to protect him. And then, you know, see how that goes in year one, year two of the rebuild. Now you start working on that defense. And I still think edge rusher is a position of extreme value in the NFL. But when you're in that position to where you need your quarterback, like the Bears getting Williams and Adunze, you build up your offense first.
Yeah, that's where I thought the shocks were coming in. I mean, look at the Falcons. They told you that right there. We value a backup quarterback more than we value an edge rusher. Yeah, I mean, that's nuts.
Top three with Latu, Verse, and Turner all still on the board.
All guys that probably are going to be studs, right?
No, I mean, Turner was projected to be a top 10 pick.
Smitty says, the draft nerds also had Akili Smith, who went to Cincy at 3 and bashed Miami for drafting Dan Marino in the first round. You ask, who is Akili Smith exactly?
I know that second guy.
I know the second guy there, Smitty.
And 2024 draft's probably a lot different than the 1980 whatever draft that was.
Whatever that was. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Nerds are getting nerdier, though, now, I would say. So that was an interesting note. The quarterback note, we're staying on the offense. 23 offensive players, Angel, were taken in the draft. 23. That smashed the old record of 19. That happened three times before. 68, 2004, and 2009.
Seven of those were wide receivers.
I need a quarterback, I need a guy to protect him, and I need somebody to throw to. That's what we learned in the draft. Quarterback domination. I mean, four quarterbacks were taken with the top eight picks. That's the most quarterbacks ever taken in the top eight in the modern draft era, which started in 1967. And then if you go stretch that out, if you add McCarthy to that mix, this year marked the first time in the modern draft era that five quarterbacks were selected in the top 10. Is that desperation for a quarterback, or is this truly that great of a quarterback class?
I think somewhere in the middle. I think three of these guys will end up being solid starters.
One's going to be great. Two are going to be solid starters for the next 5-7 years. And then the rest are probably going to be busts. That's what we know.
I still probably feel the strongest about Jaden Daniels.
That he's the great. Yeah. Caleb Good, 5-7 year guy.
I'm not sure about Caleb.
Well, who trusts the Bears? Why would you?
I don't. And he's wearing number 18.
That's dumb.
Outside of Peyton Manning, that doesn't look good on a quarterback.
Hey, why did they let Zach Wilson choose number 10? Couldn't they have just said, without tipping their hand, hey, newcomers, you don't get to pick jersey numbers until after the draft?
It could be a Zach Wilson say, hey, rookie, pay up. I'll give you my number, but you got to
be a jerk.
Clean my pads and give me lunch every day. Yeah, that too.
Give me your mom's number. I'll give you mine. Okay.
There you go. Zach Wilson knows the business. He's been in it for a while.
Who's a starter day one for Denver?
I think it is Zach Wilson.
Embrace the tank. Embrace it. Zach Wilson, do what you do best, bro. Go lose. We need weapons for Bo next year or the year after.
I think if Nicks is the guy and you want him to be the future, contrary to how the NFL wants you to act, I think a year and a half of working within the system is more beneficial than getting thrown right into it, learning on the fly. You see what it did with Jordan Love.
And Zach Wilson. Threw him into the fire.
Yeah, and if Zach works out,
that. You're right. Jordan Love took his time.
Pawn him off for a trade or something. Not much, but Hey, look, we fixed him.
What do you subscribe to? If you let's say you have a good team, but you ended up getting in a position where you drafted a quarterback and he's good. Maybe you had a trade a year before and then your stud quarterback retired. So you're a good team. You need a quarterback. Would you subscribe to I'm starting him day one or I'm going to let him sit back?
I would say let him sit.
That's where you would lean.
Yes.
And I think so too, at least for half of a season or close to it. Not to start. I don't want him starting.
Yeah, depending on where you're projecting your win total at for that year, get halfway through the season. If you feel comfortable, okay, this guy knows the offense. Hey, we got like a week 9 bye week. Let's make the switch there.
Let's read a couple of texts here. I agree with Brady. I love the Bo Nix pick. I think Minnesota got the next Christian Ponder. Seattle definitely would have taken a quarterback. Howell is not their guy. They just got a good deal from Washington. A lot of texts coming in. Rams were kicking the tires on Nix as well. Yeah, I mean, I could see that happening. Dixon, where are you? LOL. Chiefs add the fastest guy in the draft. And oh yeah, he is pretty good too. Okay. What do you want me to say?
He has some drops issues. I do know that about Worthy.
What did you say to piss off Dixon? Did I say something?
Did I say something?
I don't know. He just said, LOL, Chiefs had the fastest guy in the draft, and oh yeah, he's pretty good too. Xavier Worthy out of Texas? Neat. Good for you guys. You got him at 28. That's not sexy to me. I mean, I'm talking about 1 through 12.
I appreciate it because you got the Bills out of that spot from taking him, so that's cool. But he's, you know, he's like 164. Fast. Incredibly fast.
Neat.
I mean, he has some drops issues. He has some, you know, toughness concerns.
But
go crazy.
Yeah, go. I mean, congrats. Big Hub, are you shocked all those offensive players were taken? Yeah. I mean, let me see here. Well, maybe I'm not that shocked, Angel. I mean, in my little mock thing we did yesterday, 1 through 12, I only had one defensive player. So I guess I'm not shocked.
Yeah, and then you had overall 4 edge rushers, 3 cornerbacks. No other defensive players outside of that. A couple of D tackles.
What do you make of the corners dropping the way they did? Because we kept hearing the Broncos could look at Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Chris Harris Jr. was on with us, former Broncos defensive back. Congratulations on your retirement, by the way. Told us he thought they'd go with Wiggins even at 12.
Yeah, so Mitchell at 22. You had Terrion Arnold at 24 to Detroit, and then Wiggins at 30. And then even a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry still on the board. DeJean out of, I believe, Iowa. Is that where he's from? Yeah, Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. He's the top corner. He's best available right now.
Well, we'll see if the Broncos can get aggressive and move into the second round. But they don't have a second round pick. The next opportunity will be with them and the third. Flying Dutchman says, Bo should take the number 6 to remind everyone he was the 6th quarterback taken. Do you think that he will push for number 10?
I don't think so.
You think he'll just go with whatever's available?
Go whatever's given to you, except maybe 3.
Don't go with 3.
But 6, Nix, picks, it all kind of makes weird alliteration there.
In for 6 with Nix. And he wears number 6, Allen.
Number 6, Nix, throws the picks.
And he doesn't take many licks because he doesn't get sacked a lot.
Well, is that up to him or the O-line?
I don't know. But Sean Payton said he doesn't put himself in a position where he takes a lot of sacks. You know, he deals with a noisy pocket very well. He's the most accurate quarterback in college football history, Angel. So there's something. Listen, I'm happy with it. Was it the number 1 option that I would have went with? Oh, that would have been a tough one because I thought they'd go Brock Bowers, and I didn't know where I would. I do want a quarterback. I said I was tired of screwing around, and here we are. Big Hub, key question, who was worse? The Bills draft or the Falcons? What are the Bills doing?
I don't know. They traded out of the first twice.
Yeah, where were they originally supposed to be? They were 28.
28.
I'm not sure. I mean, they didn't do anything. So,
they were at 28, traded down to 32 with Kansas City, and then traded that with the Panthers. The Panthers move up and get Xavier Leggett.
I guess they didn't need anybody in the first. No, I guess.
Well, I saw a video of a a Bills draft watch party and they just started booing.
Well, they, in fairness, they all freaked out when they drafted Josh Allen, too.
Sure.
35 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break and get... Well, no, we're just behind on the clock. There we go. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one station that carries all four.
We've got it going on.
Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and Broncos. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Quick note for you from the Eaton Country Club, their tournament they were planning to have this weekend has been officially canceled because we're going to get some, it looks like we're getting clouds moving in now, Angel, and tomorrow it's supposed to pretty much rain all day. So the Eaton Country Club, check them out online for the next opportunity. EatonCC.net, they're doing tournaments all the time, and if you're not a member, this is a great way to try out the golf course. And if you're interested in becoming a member, and I highly recommend it, I suck at golf, but when I do go out and golf, that's where I feel the best. You know, they've got a great mix of stud golfers and people just trying to figure it out, the casual golfers. It's an awesome spot. That's the Eaton Country Club, EatonCC.net. Dixon says Nick's is accurate because 30% of his passes were behind the line of scrimmage and 70% were less than 10 yards down the field. It means he's going to chip away. He's going to just chip away at defenses. Well, that was kind of Sean Payton's offense, though, at least last year. A lot of chipping, and then you hope to hit something big downfield.
Well, yeah, and as a rookie, I'd probably be more comfortable with you doing that in your first year or six games, whatever you end up playing. Don't go too crazy. Don't, you know, flash the arm a little bit if it's open, but if not, play it safe.
Yeah, he's probably going to be the kind of guy that he's good in the pocket. He can figure out. He can deal with chaos in the pocket. He's going to hit quick passes that, you know, gets people maybe in space. That offense, the way that's designed, is going to work. That's what Peyton likes. What Russell Wilson did that I think really bothered Peyton so much was he'd look at his first option and then he'd almost turn around where now his vision is closed off to the rest of the field. So he either turns into a messy pocket and has to take a sack, or the second progression has already been covered up that he was supposed to go to quickly. That's not, hey, you get it to him, but it's not going to result in a 5, 7, 10 yard pickup. It's going to be more like a 2 or 3. So I think that that's one of the things that, you know, certainly stands out about Bo Nix. You know, he has good, everything you read in his scouting report, everything you go over on film study, he's good at pre-snap. You know, he can figure out different play calls. He's a smart guy. I think he did go through his options, his progressions well, you know, in his college career. I watched a lot of Oregon, actually. I watched a fair amount of Bo Nix. And I was, like, excited about the idea that he could be, you know, even a Denver Bronco when it started popping up. But, yeah, that's not – listen, I'm not, like, diminishing it. 30% of his passes were thrown behind the line of scrimmage. That's a fact. But I think he has the ability to go downfield. He has arm talent to win, you know, I think into the, get that ball into the secondary. Yeah, he has enough arm talent to do it. He's just doing what the offense is telling him to do. He plays within the offense.
It's the receiver talent good enough?
No, right now? It depends. Is Tim Patrick recovered? Is he healthy? Is Marvin Mims going to be utilized? You know, and
you know, he's great for checkdowns, tight ends.
You couldn't get one without, you couldn't get both. I know Tanner brought up this, like, why don't you take Bowers at 12 and get back into the first round and then get Bo Nix?
Okay, you get Bowers and Nix, and you've also lost Patrick Surtain in another first round pick.
You're not going to move into the first unless you say, here's next year's first round pick and Patrick Surtain. I'm going to give that up for Bo Nix. Mm-mm. So it wasn't, you couldn't do both. It was either Bowers or Bo Nix.
But could you have done it with Zach Wilson and Bowers?
And that's the other school of thought there, is that maybe it's not a lost cause for Zach Wilson. Maybe he could have been okay. If Bowers was the pick, I'd be saying today, okay, I guess we're going to see if Zach Wilson was truly just a product of his environment and was ruined by the Jets, or if that's just who he is. There were doubts about him coming into the draft, too. So it's not like it was all Jets screwed him up. There were plenty of people that worried about the idea of Zach Wilson being a long-time franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Zach's got all the arm talent, the escapability, maneuverability, if you will. Decision-making could be a benefit of the environment, could be some things he has to work through. But I think a more mature coach with Sean Payton, with maybe a more sophisticated offense, can maybe iron some of those things out.
We'll play a couple of clips about as far as what Sean Payton had to say about Bo Nix. Smitty saying Sean Payton claims they broke down the film and removed all of his horizontal passes, and Nix still had the best completion percentage. If true, that's interesting. I think there were a lot of great throws that he made. Listen, I'm good with it. Am I floored? No, but I'm good with it. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Bruno Lily LeClaire. Heard Havala on Good Morning NoCo this morning. And they're just great at what they do. You know, if something happens, you screw up, or you're accused of screwing up, or you just need to talk to an attorney, then they'd be the one. BLL.legal. Call them at 720-340-1373. That's Bruno Lily LeClaire. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Game four tomorrow night. Angel, we get to Nuggets Lakers. I'm excited about that. Sweep time. How are we doing about the as far as the outlook for the Avalanche? Avs going at it tonight. Series is tied. It was a great game the other night. Man, it's been a long week. It has been a long week. It seems like a while ago we were talking about the Avs getting the dub. But Alexander Georgiev, I think, proved that he can do it. Can he do it again? Because a lot's going to ride on that.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this game, to see the Avs play back in front of their home crowd. I know some of the players have talked about they're just excited to be back in Ball Arena. That crowd's going to be going crazy. It feels that momentum has shifted over towards the Avs. If you can get these two games at home, feel really good about going back to Winnipeg and wrapping it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Great opportunity in front of the Avs, and they can take this against Winnipeg. They're also proven that they can score a lot of goals on a Hellebuck, man. I mean, that's been a big deal for them. Would they score six in the first or five in the first game and then five again?
Yeah, and then just looking a little ahead right here, Vegas is up 2-0 on Dallas, the one seed over in the West.
Yeah, it's I had a bunch of people were asking if I was going to watch any hockey last night. It's like, it's the draft or it's game three, man.
I wish I could watch more NHL playoffs, but it's like NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. Kind of leaning more NBA.
You do you have to make a little bit of a choice, yeah. You know? I mean, it's tough because they're all playing at the same time.
You got NBA players pulling people's legs and flopping and doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Well, you're talking about Joel Embiid. He had a monster night. Then you find out that he reveals that he was diagnosed with Bell's palsy. That's why the eye thing's happening. So, I mean, I feel bad for the guy. 12:50 the time. We'll take a quick break. Hour number three coming up. We'll get to buy or sell, biggest storylines from the draft. More on game three. And how about Aaron Gordon? How about it? I was right. He's the best trade in Colorado sports history. The hardware speaks for itself. We'll be right back.
Here now. Nuggets and Avalanche games crystal clear in NoCo.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
Bank of Colorado presents Nuggets and Avs broadcasts now on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
But oftentimes you hear this, well, if they don't get one here, they can go back and get this one. I heard those same comments. You know, when the Chiefs selected Patrick, when you go back and tune in to everything that was said, well, they could have got him later. No, they couldn't. And so, we all understand managing the draft, but let's also, let's worry about what it's going to look like 3 years from now. And that's 3 to 4 years from now when this class will be judged.
There's Sean Payton talking about Bo Nix, kind of drawing some comparisons to what the Chiefs did. You know, when they took Patrick Mahomes, they kind of had their guy at the moment, and they were looking at the future. Not to say the Broncos have their guy, but it wasn't a draft for the right now. The Patrick Mahomes draft, and he's not comparing the players, the Patrick Mahomes draft was for the next 2 to 3 years. And that's kind of where the Broncos, I believe, are with Bo Nix right now. This is why, you know, that right there, that comment would lead you to believe they're definitely leaning toward Zach Wilson starting game one for Denver. And then you just kind of see how it goes. Do you feel like anything has changed as far as the tank? Is still the tank still on?
I've got the perception that they're kind of tanking without openly tanking. And
yeah.
They haven't made moves to really...
Nothing has made them better, like big time, like today.
Yeah, I don't think their moves have made them better or significantly worse. But it's up to Sean if he wants to run that, go with the trend of start your rookie now or do a little old school and let him wait for a little bit.
No, I think he's going to go old school. I really do, based on that, too. All right, buy or sell coming up next. We'll get to the biggest storylines from the NFL draft. And so much more as we wrap up the show in the final hour of the program. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.